And I encourage any listener, don't take the shortcuts. Just do the organic, good long-term approach, because it's a long game and it is an inconvenience if you do lose your privileges.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schramko. James Schramko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here. Welcome back to superfastbusiness.com. Another guest interview today on a popular topic, which is getting more from your advertising dollar. And specifically, we're talking about what cannot be ignored, a huge platform of Facebook. And I've brought along my friend Keith Krantz to talk about it. G'day, Keith.
G'day, mate. G'day, James.
That was a very good Aussie accent, better than many I've heard. Now, you run a website called dominatewebmedia.com, and you are in the business of helping people with Facebook. I'd like you to tell me a little bit about your experience with Facebook, and I know that you've been a co-author with somebody rather famous in this space. Let's find out about your education / services experience, and then we can roll into some top tips for our listeners.
Sure. Sounds good. So I first started, really kind of fell in love with the whole Facebook ads game really 3 to 4 years ago. I actually self-published a book about 2.5, 3 years ago, and I don't really promote it anymore because it's already outdated. And the book that you referenced in the opening was the one I'm co-authoring with Perry Marshall, which will be out in the fall, published by Entrepreneur Magazine, The Ultimate Guide to Facebook Advertising. So excited about that. But so I started getting into Facebook ads a few years ago when I really just realized the ability to get your message out in front of your exact ideal target audience. You see, I used to, you know, prior to my whole online business, I used to own, you know, multiple brick and mortar businesses and part of two different franchises. I ended up owning about 4 to 5 different locations depending on the time. And before that, I was an airline pilot for about 6 years. But while I owned these brick and mortar businesses, it was, you know, if we wanted to get a billboard up, it might be $10,000 on a halfway busy road, or a lot more than that on a, you know, much busier road. And so just that experience alone and all the stuff we did, you know, with traditional marketing, and I know you have the experience with all the stuff you guys would do with the car dealerships, but the ability to just literally set that ad up for free, and as long as you have a good message, you can get out in front of your exact ideal target audience, and then you're paying on a, you know, 20 cents, 30 cents, 40 or 50 or 60 cents per click basis. And so once I understood that you could do that with Facebook, I just fell in love and I just went all in. And since then, now we have literally, my account is under management of over $1 million in spend on Facebook ads alone, which has generated, you know, 150,000 plus leads just over the past couple years, several $1 million in direct sales. And the lifetime value of those are much higher than that with the different clients that we kind of manage behind the scenes. And so it's an exciting time. For the last year, the changes that have been made, the enhancements to the platform, really ever since Facebook became a public company, is when really the platform started really improving, because they know they've got to generate revenue, right, to generate growth in their stock.
Yeah, well, it seems like they've been changing a lot. They certainly changed on me. I think I was one of the earlier people advertising on the Facebook platform, and I'm talking about many years ago. And then at some point, my account got flagged, and it looks like it's back up now. So how do we deal with the inconsistencies on that platform?
Good question. So the account stuff, that's a tough one to deal with. It just, because it could be so many different things that can kind of happen. But as far as the inconsistencies with Facebook, the one thing that, if anybody's listening to this podcast, one thing that we really want you to take to heart is you have to figure out a way that you can somehow provide value and build instant rapport with your Facebook ads. And so if you have high value content and then you have something at the other end of that that you can sell, whether it's a service or a product or you're a local brick and mortar business, how can you, you know, quickly build rapport with somebody or provide value, whether it's a coupon if you're a local business, or whether it's a, you know, some kind of educational download, or whether it's a testimonial video that you can pop up as a video and amplify that, or maybe it's just a how-to blog post, those types of things. And how can you kind of do that and then have systems in place to move those visitors into subscribers and eventually into customers, clients, and returning customers and clients. But, you know, kind of back to your question about the inconsistencies, that's one of the things that it is frustrating. I mean, it changes so fast. When we're teaching this stuff, like, holy crap, the power editor changes every single month. The whole ad platform, I mean, literally, you know, you'll do a training and you'll do all these screenshots and these videos, and then the ad manager is completely different, like, a week after it's published.
It's crazy. I looked up my oldest ads, and I was actually using Facebook advertising in April 2008. So it's I've actually been
that's way back.
A while now. Like, well, I think I'm actually getting on. I'm thinking, is this 2014 already? That's like 6 years. It's been pretty incredible, really. So now I'm speaking to other people to find out about Facebook, because that's what you have to do. I've had all sorts of social media experts on Superfast Business. I've had Facebook discussions with Jen Sheehan and Victoria Gibson. I've had Pinterest discussions with Michelle McPherson. I've talked about Instagram with the Betty Rocker. And here we are with the update on Facebook. And I'm sure that you've got some new news for us about what's happening there. But what is the right way to use Facebook now? And we're recording this in 2014. What should we be doing if we're taking a clean sheet approach to this? We've got our business here. We've got our website. We might have an offer. We're not in a MLM niche or something that Facebook don't like. We've got, you know, a good offer that is good for people, that they think is acceptable. How do we approach it?
What I like to do is I like to teach, I call it kind of 80-20 Facebook marketing schedule.
Well, that's a familiar concept.
You like that? That's a Perry Marshall coin there. And so we run Facebook ads for his 80-20 book. So that's a great offer. In a second here.
And a great book. I want to talk to Perry Marshall about his book. And I was kind enough to offer him this platform to come and talk about it. But I also was in the foreword of that book. It really changed my 2013 reading that book at the beginning of the year and reviewing it for him, I guess, as a little note in the front cover. But the whole 80-20 approach is a soft spot for me. I even take it to the 4%, 64% ratio, the fractal part, that little 80-20 of the 20. And that's what I'm looking for. If you can tell us the core things that you must know about Facebook, that'd be awesome.
Sure, sure. And the thing is when you're thinking about, let's say you have a business, that what I like to tell people to do is try to kind of divvy up that budget. So let's say you have some type of offer. Let's say you have a landing page that you want to drive traffic to. First of all, you have to have a Facebook appropriate offer. Okay, I call it a Facebook appropriate offer, or kind of lead magnet. And if you want here, and in a second here, I'll give you a list of offers that work on Facebook in about a minute here. But first, what we like to do is, let's say that you have a landing page, or maybe you have a sales page with a low-end, low-price product that you can drive targeted traffic to with Facebook. What you want to do is maybe spend, you know, 80% of your budget driving traffic to that core offer. It's some kind of a direct response. So people have to enter their email. They have to take action once they get there. And then maybe you're spending your other 20% of your budget on amplifying your high value content and kind of building that engagement level and building the fan base. And so, for example, perfect example is Own the Race Course. So people that follow you, hopefully they are creating content. And they're posting that content on their blog, okay? Whether it's a video that turns into an article, et cetera, et cetera, a podcast, whether it's just SlideShare, whether it's just a written article, okay? You start your content on your blog. And if you hopefully you have good systems in place on your blog, like where you can, you know, capture leaks, great, strong calls to action throughout your website. Now, if you take that content, post it up onto Facebook as a status update on your business Facebook page, now what you can do is you can amplify that content, okay, with Facebook ads. You can literally set up a campaign that is targeted to your, you know, kind of exact ideal target audience that you know resonates with your business or service. And what you can do is you can set up a small budget, like $5 to $10 a day, okay? I'm talking 10 to 20% of your budget is this small strategy, but it's really, really powerful in my opinion. It will really build your brand, it will build your goodwill, and it will increase your conversions on all of your other stuff. And so what you do is now you can post that piece of content that's hosted on your blog, you can post it onto Facebook, then you can now target people that like, say, Tony Robbins or like tennis or like triathlons. And now you can bring that traffic to that post where if they click on that post or the image in that post, guess what? They get taken to your blog or your core website, okay? And they don't have to opt in, okay? You're not requiring them to opt in or anything like that. What you're doing is you're building goodwill. And then hopefully you have retargeting in place. So on your website, so you have your some kind of retargeting pixel, whether it's AdRoll or Perfect Audience or now Facebook's own web retargeting, and you're kind of building that, we call it invisible list. And I can go, we don't have time to go into detail on how to really put this stuff up, you know, exactly each step by step. And I can explain that at your event when I'm speaking at your event. And so I'll kind of walk people through, you know, what tools to use for this and stuff. But let's say you're doing this now. What's happening is people that see that post, you're getting likes on your page. You're getting traffic. It's helping your search engine optimization. You're getting more social signals. People are sharing your posts. People are sharing your blog posts because you've got hopefully the social share buttons on your blog. Okay. And then you might have retargeting in place where when they leave your blog and if they don't opt in, you might have, you know, maybe 10 or 15% of the people that land on your blog, they opt in via one of your calls to action on your site. And then the other people, they're going to leave. And guess what? Now you can have an automated, you know, a banner ad that shows up on Facebook when they go to Facebook the next day or maybe to a news site if you're doing web retargeting. And you can bring them to your offer. Maybe it's a landing page with a free, you know, a checklist or a cheat sheet or a video series. Or maybe it's right to your product page if you're an e-commerce store and you have a good kind of low ticket front end product that you can pitch. And so what you're doing is you're kind of doing this for, let's say, 10 to 20% of your budget or maybe 30%. And then maybe the other 70 or 80% of your budget, you're driving traffic to a good offer that you know will work with Facebook, okay? And so what's happening is you're kind of building goodwill with this other stuff. You're continually building your brand. You're driving traffic to your website. But that's a small part of your budget, and you really can get your content out to the majority of your fans on a very, very low budget by doing this. And if your ultimate goal is to really just generate leads and sales, let's say you have an event coming up or you want to fill up a webinar, then yes, you're going to focus that 80% on that lead generation. And when I said we've generated 150,000 leads in the last couple of years and literally about almost 60,000 leads in the last 3 months alone with just a few of my clients, and most of those were over 35 years old and up. And with those, we've done just driving traffic to a good landing page with a good offer that people will opt in for, and then, you know, they're added to your list, and you can go from there, turning them into a hotter prospect and into a customer. And so—
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, well, I just want to say, so far, you've given us a perfect rundown of how you can get going. Are you doing this yourself, or are we hiring someone to do this?
You know, it really depends on your situation. Absolutely. You know, if your ultimate goal is just to get traffic and you just want to create content and focus on your business, focus on sales, then maybe you hire out somebody and they can do this all for you. Okay. We do this for clients, you know, on a case-by-case basis. And you can also learn how to do this yourself. If you're a consultant or you're a coach or something like that, then I would recommend learning this stuff and doing it yourself, at least for a while, or maybe hiring somebody to kind of maybe a package where it's more like a consulting done with you kind of program, and you can really learn your target audience, because you do learn a lot. You know, even if you're hiring somebody to do this for you, I'd still recommend getting involved as much as possible so you can learn like what audiences, you know, convert, which ones don't. So for example, if we're running a lead generation campaign, we'll typically separate out, let's say for example, we're driving traffic to a page that teaches you, you know, how to become an author and how you write your own book in 2014. And what we like to do typically is separate out each campaign by target audience. So literally in some campaigns, we might have 100 different campaigns with 100 different audiences. So we can really, really see which audience performs best. Because realistically, you know, I mean, yes, you can go down even more granular to age levels and stuff like that, even though you can kind of get that with the reporting. But it's really nice to see, okay, Tony Robbins, that converted well. Wayne Dyer, that didn't convert too well. You know, public speaking, okay, our cost per lead was a lot lower there. Then let's scale on that one. Let's maybe take that one and refine it and see if we can take the audience tight or the age group tighter. But that's one tip is really try to separate out your target audience as much as possible. You know, until let's say you find a core 9 or 10 audiences that you know are your best 9 or 10, and then you just want to amplify a blog post, then what you can do is you can save that audience inside the Power Editor. You can save that. Let's say it was, you know, 9 different interests. And then over time, you felt those were your kind of best 9. You can save that as a saved kind of audience. And Facebook will remember, okay, it was 40-year-olds to 65. It was these 9 audiences. It was United States, Australia, New Zealand, UK, and Canada. And then what you can do is quickly just ignite it to your kind of core audience. I call it core gurus. You know, social media gurus is kind of my audience, right?
Now, everyone seems to put a link to everyone seems to use the Frank Kern page as their starting point in the IM space. Is that correct or incorrect?
That's a good page to target. If you're in the IM space, yeah, absolutely. You know, Frank Kern, the Ryan Dices and those guys. Some of them, you know, some of the names you can't target. If a Facebook page has a really long name, like Brendan Burchard, for example, Life, Love, Matter, I think what it's called, Life, Live, Matter. So he has a long name. So for some weird reason, Facebook has a glitch that if it has a long name, you can't target it. So if you want to build a big Facebook page, you don't want people targeting your fans, then create a long name.
Well, I know that people do target my fans as well because they figure that I've got a pretty solid audience. I've got a very organic audience. And I know there's tools that actually allow people to go and scrape or harvest the IDs from every single private group.
Sure.
And I know people are mining out groups like Zentrepreneur, this Internet Marketing Super Friends group. Are these tools allowed or are they a little bit black hat? What's the story with that?
Okay. So great question. This is really going around right now. And there's a lot of people that this is one of their core kind of, you know, strategies they teach. And I can't tell you right now, which way to go. The one thing I will tell you is that right now, honestly, I'm probably giving up a little bit because we're not doing that just to play it really, really safe. Just because a couple people I know that are real, that have pretty good ins with Facebook. One of my friends, Dennis Yu, who runs around with a lot of the guys over there at Silicon Valley. And, you know, he told me directly that people are getting their Facebook accounts shut down for that.
It makes sense that they would be pushing the edge. And as someone who has lost their Facebook account privileges before, and I'm not even sure why, and if I had to guess, I think it might have been some of the CPA offers I was promoting 5 or 6 years ago, not the stuff that I was promoting at the time when my account got turned off. But it seems that it's turned back on again. So I don't even know if I'm officially banned or not, but I certainly haven't used anything devious or untoward. But I, you know, one of the things I teach in Own the Race course is to not be platform dependent. But I don't do anything to upset platforms anymore. My super fast business site is completely organic. Yeah. I don't do anything tricky. I don't use tools. We don't do, you know, SEO in the old sense of manipulative link building, all of that stuff. Left that in the past with my older sites, some that I've even turned off as a result, some test sites, etc. And I encourage any listener, don't take the shortcuts. Just do the organic, good long-term approach because it's a long game and it is an inconvenience if you do lose your privileges.
It absolutely, especially this how good Facebook is becoming lately and how much better the targeting is becoming with partner categories and, you know, where we can, it's just unbelievable. But yeah, I mean, according to the terms of service, they're supposed to be kind of opted in. Those people are supposed to, if you're the Facebook user ID, what that's for is people that create an app. It's like, you know, the opt-in apps where you can kind of opt in, and that's what that's for. And so it's going to be when they start cracking down, and supposedly I heard they might start cracking down this year. It's not that difficult to find somebody that scraped a bunch of names. It's very easy for their algorithm to find a bunch of similar data points. So it's definitely, it works. It's a strategy that you can get some laser targeted leads, but use at your own risk is what I say.
What about this other option of being able to upload your email addresses and create dynamic groups there?
Okay, so Facebook custom audiences, I'm glad you asked. It's one of the things I want to touch on this call, is one of the best aspects of Facebook, one of the best new enhancements, why we are becoming even more successful with Facebook. So what Facebook custom audiences are, these are super powerful for two ways. One, you know, to get higher quality, highly targeted leads, you know, new leads into your funnel, but also how to really bring your existing subscribers back into your sales funnel and to promote, you know, existing events or whatever it is. So what you can do is basically upload a CSV file of email lists or phone numbers. So I can export, let's say I export a name of 10,000 emails out of my Infusionsoft account, and I can upload that CSV file to Facebook. You can do it via the Ad Manager or the Power Editor, but to create a similar audience, you have to use the Power Editor, which I'll talk about in a second. So what you do is you upload a custom audience in Facebook, and then Facebook will match up those emails with their existing Facebook email. So let's say out of those 10,000 emails, maybe 6,000 of those are the same email they use to log into Facebook with. So now, about an hour later, voila, you have a 6,000 person target audience you can use to target your ads to. And so this is really powerful. It's like basically you can now, because, you know, what's an average open rate? 15, 20%? You know, a good open rate is probably 20% or higher.
For emails?
Yeah.
Man, I'm getting 70 or 80%, but I think I'm doing things a bit differently to other people. That's for my super customer lists, but certainly over half, 50 plus percent. But even my mass list, you know, the ones like 20,000.
Yep.
My mass, I know it's like a baby list for the average internet marketer, but for 20,000 people, I'd be disappointed if I don't crack 20% opens on my house list.
Okay, perfect. Me too. My goal typically on my list is kind of to get above 20 as much every time, and then yeah.
Oh, and it's really worth pointing out that Office Autopilot only counts one open per customer. If you're using AWeber or something, they'll put the same person, like there are people that open your email like 20 times, which blows my mind, but they count every time as a new open, and it inflates your open rate.
I don't understand that. That's another topic. Well, you'll see somebody opens an email like that went out like 2 weeks ago or a month ago. What? How? Seriously?
Yeah, partly I think they're forwarding it to people and getting a few opens on the same email. I think that's partly it. And partly I think people just forget they ever opened it or something weird's going on.
Yeah.
But it does blow my mind. And the other thing is I don't think those email systems actually count every pixel. It's not firing everyone's right. pixel when they're going into the inbox, and maybe they're screening it or whatever. Or the other one, like me having podcasts, is they'll see the email and then they'll go to their iTunes and start listening to the episode. So the email alerted them that there's an episode, but yep. they didn't necessarily open. So I'm a bit wary of the numbers, the stats. But in any case, let's get back on topic. You've got your percentage of opens and you know which lists are responsive.
Yeah. And so what you can do now, obviously, where it gets better in a second here, though, but what you can do is you can target those people with your Facebook ads. So now you can kind of, you know, go from a, say, a 20% open rate, or even if it's 50 or maybe it's 10, now you can go to almost, if they're on Facebook, 100% open rate, because you can get that message out in front of them and you can run a CPM bidding ad where you're only paying per, you know, 1,000 impressions. So let's say you're paying, you know, $3 per 1,000 impressions. And even if it's, you know, the list is, let's say, 6,000, and you're talking about $18 or something like that to get out in front of all of your existing, you know, audience about some kind of, you know, offer. Maybe it's an opt-in for a webinar or something like that. But they really, really work really, really well. And so any list that you can get access to, it has to be an email list. It can't be like an address, you know, list that you can buy like for direct mail. It's got to be an email or a phone list. And we know the phone lists don't match up very well. So, however, the next thing that you can do is you can create a similar or lookalike audience. So any custom audience that you upload into Facebook, so I recommend uploading any type of segmented list you can, you know, your entire subscriber list, your buyers from the last 18 months, et cetera, really break that down and upload as much as you can, because you can now create a similar audience. So I can upload that, let's say that 6,000 person list, or let's say it's only 500, doesn't matter. I can click on that list and then I can create similar audience. And now Facebook will create a whole new unique audience based on about 6 data points, where they will now create a new audience with similar traits, you know, psychographic and demographic data as your list. And it takes, you know, just a few minutes and that list will be created. Now, mind you, that list is usually about 2 million large. So it's always about 2 million. It's a very large list. But where the kind of the low-hanging fruit comes in, this is really one you want to pay attention to. So write this down if you're running ads right now, or if you're getting ready to run ads. If you're running ads to a campaign, a lot of times, for example, a target audience might be too large, kind of too broad, right? For example, in the triathlon space, hashmark triathlon is like 1 million, right? 1.2 million or something like that. And so for us to sell triathlon training courses, you know, generate leads in that, it's a lot better to go after like the names of triathlon, like Ironman, the specific names of cities of specific triathlons, or products that sell, you know, certain products and stuff like that. You're going to be much better off than, you know, maybe it's an audience of 150,000 or 200,000 or 400,000. You know, those are pretty good audience sizes that you can, you know, get pretty good results from. You know, if you're talking about up around 800,000, 900,000 to 1 million, it's going to be tougher to convert. You want to try to get it more precise and more narrowed down. However, if you take, let's say you have an audience that's 1.2 million, or maybe it's just like email marketing or something general like that, which, you know, you've ran some ads to that audience and you can't get your cost per lead down enough. Your performance isn't very good. And what you can do is you can layer that. So you can take, you can add that similar audience that you added, say the similar audience to your list, or to your list and your buyers. And then they have to be in that similar audience, and they also have to be in that, you know, hash triathlon. Hash in Facebook targeting just kind of means it's general. It's typically more broad than other things. And so that's what it looks like in the ad manager. That's why I said hash. It just looks that way in the ad manager. It means it's kind of a general, anybody that's kind of related to that topic or could like that topic or has commented on something related to that topic. So let's say you instead of targeting, you know, triathlon, which is 1.1 million or 1.2 million, or that similar audience, which is 2 million, I can target somebody that likes triathlon and also is in my similar audience. And now all of a sudden it goes to like a 240,000 person audience, highly targeted. So you went from one at 1 million or the other one at like 1.2 million, and all of a sudden put them together and they have to land in both of those. And now you have a 250,000 person audience that's highly, highly targeted. So that's a great way to use custom and similar audiences. It's kind of the next level thing.
I saw a tip from Jason Parker. He mentioned you put a tracking pixel on your thank you page. And then he also said you can capture the email addresses of your buyers, and then you can start marketing specials just to buyers with your custom audience. You upload your buyer email segment.
Yep, exactly.
So do you do any sort of hyper-segmentation like that?
Oh, yeah, exactly. So that's kind of what I was said a second ago a little bit. So what you might do is his own buyers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to upload, segment your list out as much as possible. So one list is your regular subscribers, and then another one is your buyers. And then you can – exactly. So the similar audience strategy is kind of the next level thing. But the first level is – absolutely targeting, you know, specific higher level products to those buyers. And it just absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, another thing you might do is you might, for example, when we did our webinar promotion with Perry for our program we did a few weeks ago, is we had about 3,000. So people register for the webinars, the promo webinars. So we upload that into a custom audience and then run reminder Facebook ads to the offer page for, you know, the next week. And you can also do that to remind them to, you know, show up for the webinar. But if the webinar has already happened, you can run that ad reminding them to buy, you know, and takes them right to the order page. Similar with, you know, e-commerce, you can do the same thing. Now, the other thing that you can do, I don't want to go into this too much. It's brand new in Facebook, and I can touch on this more at the event and stuff, at your event. But Facebook now has its own retargeting, and it's a custom audience feature. And so it's called custom audience web retargeting. And so what they're doing is it's basically like using Perfect Audience or AdRoll, but it's a little bit better, except you can't do the rest of the web retargeting like on Oprah.com or other blogs or news sites. It's Facebook only. But what you can do is you can put your Facebook retargeting pixel on your website, okay? And then Facebook will start to build that audience. And so it's instead of putting like a Perfect Audience retargeting pixel, you're putting your Facebook retargeting pixel. And now you can use Facebook to run retargeting campaigns. So I can put that pixel site wide, and then that audience will grow every day. So it might start out, you know, with zero, and then tomorrow there might be 100 visitors on it. So, and then tomorrow, the next day, there's 200 or whatever. If there's 1,000 a day, it's 2,000. And so now I can run, let's say everybody that lands on my blog, I can now run that custom audience campaign, bringing them back to my free offer or to my webinar or to my event, et cetera, et cetera. And then of course you can create separate audiences inside your ad manager. So I'll create another audience, which is people that landed on the thank you page. Okay. Or landed on the sales confirmation page. So what I can do is I can run these kind of Facebook retargeting ads to people that landed on my website. And then I'll exclude the people that landed on the thank you page. So those folks are not going to get delivered those. And so these are highly targeted. They're not going to cost you very much at all. You can bid really low and you can kind of really get your message out there. And it can be out there a lot. I mean, you can get your build that frequency up over and over if you want. And people, a lot of times people need, you know, a few times to before they make a buying decision. So
yeah, I think that Facebook combined with remarketing seems like a magic formula. You find the customers with specific interests, send them to your site. You don't have to squeeze them anymore because you've got them on the invisible remarketing list. That's something Mike Rhodes talks about. He mentioned that at Fastweb Formula 3, the event that I ran, he was talking about the invisible email list. And in fact, he's coming to the event as well to talk about what's new with remarketing, especially on the Google side of things. So this tandem Facebook / remarketing, and of course there's Perfect Audience, AdRoll. Do you have any other?
Google. And
which ones?
Yeah, well, I only have the recommendations I have for you is Perfect Audience or AdRoll, because they give you the option to be able to advertise in Facebook and the rest of the web. Okay, so you can, if you want, like in Perfect Audience, I can create a sidebar campaign, or I can create a Facebook newsfeed campaign, or I can create a web retargeting. I can upload a 300 by 250 banner, you know, all the different banners you see, and that can show up on any other news site or any site that basically has AdSense available. So now Facebook's new web retargeting, this is brand new. I mean, this is 2 weeks old. It's only been around for just in February. And this is where the good thing about the new Facebook one is you actually have more options, because with Perfect Audience or AdRoll, basically you only have one ad option. It's a link post with a square image. Well, it used to be, they just changed that, but it's basically a link post ad, or it's a sidebar ad, and that's it. Well, if you're using Facebook's and you're building that list, you can run a video ad, you can run a Facebook offer, you can run all the different types of ads. Plus, the pixel, it's not cookie-based. It actually works on mobile and apps. So if somebody's on mobile, you're kind of building that invisible list, which you wouldn't be able to do on Perfect Audience or AdRoll because it's kind of a browser-based cookie. You know, we're getting into more technical stuff here, but my point is just get in there and try to at least put that pixel on your site and see if that list will start to grow inside your Facebook ad manager. So,
well, I've been accumulating a large list on AdRoll and on Google. I think I have 100,000 plus people now, and that's just from driving people to my main content blog. So if I were to have the perfect inventory of tools, it would be my own blog, then Facebook, Google Plus, Twitter, and my own email list, driving traffic back to it repeatedly, and then leveraging that with remarketing. It just turns it into a big list building / product sales machine. But the Facebook component is such a big part of it, and I'm kind of looking forward to getting back into it. I noticed just before my account stopped for whatever reason last year, there was a lot of people were making abusive comments on the promoted posts. Is that still a problem?
Okay, good point. People still do that, but you know what? I'm seeing it less and less than we used to see it because they're getting used to it.
Do you think they've finally figured out that that's actually, you know, how Facebook's funded and that it's part of the deal?
Yep, it's part of the deal. They're getting used to it. You'll still get them once in a while, you know, get the F off my news feed because they own their news feed. It's their news feed, right? Yeah, it's my news feed. I pay for that or not.
Sure. Yeah, they own Facebook, don't they? But I was so taken aback by the comments. They were sort of YouTube-esque. I asked my agency to stop running those promoted posts because I was just finding the negative energy was inconsistent with my core values. So I've pretty much been going organic for the last year and still managed to have tremendous growth. But I think a little gentle assist here and there would be something that I'd like. So I'm going to turn on the ad roll soon and see what happens. And all right, let's break it down. You're what I would call a technical talker. You have the ability to put a fire hose of information, much like Ezra Firestone did in my e-commerce interview. I've got to now strain this into a short action guide for our listener. What can we do? We've got a post-it note and a pen in front of us. We're doing no advertising on Facebook. What are the action steps just to get started in the simple version? They can go back and listen to the complicated version, which has got all the detail, but let's just say, what's the core things we need to do?
Okay, sure. Great question. So first of all, go create your ad account. Okay, do it right now, right after this podcast. If you haven't yet, you go to facebook.com/advertising. And to create your ad manager, you have to actually submit an ad. So just kind of follow the steps and submit an ad, put in your credit card. And then after you do that, it'll take you to the ad manager and then pause that campaign. So it doesn't even need to be perfect. You don't even need to put all the right targeting interests or anything like that in there. Just go to facebook.com/advertising, click create an ad, and then hit, you know, create an ad real quick, put your credit card in, hit submit, then pause that. So now you have your ad manager. Now you can go in and mess around, create an ad, get inside the interest targeting and start looking at the different, you know, targeting capabilities, and you'll start to get excited and it'll show you the potential reach when you start putting in different interests and audiences that people can like. You start, you know, people that like Tony Robbins or tennis, or, you know, you can in the partner categories, you can do lots of different things if you're in the US right now. However, it sounds like those might be coming overseas too, which where you can target people based on kind of their offline spending data and stuff like that. But do that, and then once you when you create an ad, they're going to give you an option. And what you can do is you can, if you have a Facebook page, you can click, you know, page post engagement. And that's probably going to be the easiest way for you to get started. You'll select page post engagement, and then you can just select a most recent post on your Facebook page. Or you can kind of create one right in there. I don't want to get too technical there because you kind of need a screen record. But go in there and kind of stumble around a little bit and do it. And then get inside and look around the audience and see the potential audiences that you can target. Okay, that's number one. Number two is get lead pages if you don't have lead pages. Okay, lead pages, in my opinion, is one of the biggest reasons why so many businesses are now becoming more successful with Facebook ads. It's so easy to create a high converting landing page, connect that with your autoresponder, and go to Facebook and start driving traffic to it. You can even split test easily. So lead pages, create an ad. Another thing that you're going to want to do is write this down, okay? Go to Facebook, the homepage. So just go to the Facebook newsfeed and type something in, pages liked by people who like James Shramko. Pick a page, right? So pick a page that's put a competitor's page in there, put your Facebook page in there. And then what's going to happen is you're going to see a drop down of all these Facebook pages that are similar. Guess what? There's your target audiences for your first campaign. Now, not all of those are going to show up in the ad manager, but some of them will. Okay. So search in Facebook graph search pages liked by people who like, okay, create an ad. And then what you're going to do is the best way to start your ads really is to, you know, have it as a page post ad. So it's like a post that's on your Facebook page, and you're going to target people. If you can kind of at first stay in the news feed, you're going to be a lot better off news feed and desktop only. and you really will kind of be better. I recommend typically targeting people on desktop computers until you have an ad that's working and converting. Then you can kind of scale more into mobile and into the sidebar and stuff like that. Okay. The other thing is having an offer that works. Okay. Now, if you're creating content and you're doing Own the Racehorse, do like I said before, copy that link, paste it into your Facebook page. If a good image doesn't pull, you know, replace that thumbnail image with something that kind of stands out. Just make sure it doesn't have more than 20% text because your ad won't get approved. Okay. Then go to your ad manager, create an ad, target that post that's on your page as your post. You don't really typically want to boost your post from your Facebook page too often. That's not the best way to do it. You can't target as well as you can in the ad manager. You can drive traffic to your blog, set up a small budget to do that. And then if you want to really generate leads, set up a good landing page using lead pages and create an offer. If you want, I can run down and give you a quick list of offers that work with Facebook. We have like 30 seconds. I know we're running short on time. But here's some great potential kind of lead magnets or offers that work really well with Facebook. Okay, like of course a free reporter guide, something like 10 steps to double your email conversions on your blog. Okay, checklists are great. Cheat sheets are great. Okay, toolkit or resource list. 5 favorite Facebook tools is one I've got. So Clay Collins has a great blog post about his 5 video tools. It was the highest converting offer he had.
Yeah, and the cheat sheet was my first online marketing campaign that I wrote for years. It was generating me up to 10 grand a month with the cheat sheet. People love a way to shortcut a complicated process.
Okay. So basically, one thing you need to think about with Facebook is whatever your core goal is, whatever your core offer or product or service or the thing you really want customers to do, whether it's buy your $100 product or $1,000 product or get on the phone with you or come into your local business, that needs to be the second or third step in the process. So with Facebook, you've got to figure out a way to put something right in front of that, like a cheat sheet, okay? Cheat sheet is tangible. They know they can download it right away. It's quick, it's easy, checklist. They know they can get it and they can consume it in a couple minutes. Then on that thank you page, you've already provided some value. Now you can move them into, you know, giving them more information about your business. That's really what you want to think about with Facebook. What can I put in front of my kind of core goal to instantly build rapport, build value, and give them something, and also have, you know, something that's will get high opt-in rates. So those work. So, you know, market or industry reports work. Free video series can work well. Webinars, teleseminars, or live webcasts. However, typically webinars are going to actually do better if it's like the second step. Maybe you have a cheat sheet and then on the thank you page that you've got a webinar invite, or maybe it's 2 or 3 days later on the email autoresponder. So you're going to be better off if it's ice cold traffic with webinar stuff if it might not be your first offer. Now, that's not always the case. Webinars can be a great kind of lead magnet with Facebook, especially if you have a video on that and you've got a good kind of 2 or 3 minute video or a testimonial video. We love those. So free books work awesome. Free book plus shipping. I mean, that's what we're doing with Perry. You're seeing Frank Kern do it. And I swear he's copying our campaign we were doing 6 months ago. Surveys or quiz for people kind of like in the financial world, maybe. Contests or giveaways are awesome, but that's, you know, you're going to get a lot of people opting in there. You just got to be careful because it's kind of really top of funnel stuff there. Local businesses, coupon or discounts, local events or seminars are awesome for Facebook ads. You know, drive traffic to an event with your Facebook ads, and then at your event, you can offer some kind of your normal service. So low priced products for e-commerce or gadget. Okay. Those are great for Facebook ads. If it's like a sub $20, sub $10 kind of cool product, then you can, you know, offer them that. And then on the thank you page, you can kind of move them into your core offer. And then free trials for software work great too, or like nutraceuticals. So those are some offers that work. Get a good offer, put a lead page on, create an ad, and start driving traffic to it.
I'm a big fan of lead pages, and I think it's just got to be the easiest way to get started. Lead pages plus Facebook equals email list.
Yep.
You can't lose.
It's awesome. Yeah, and retargeting is just like, that's why I love it. You can drive traffic right to your blog now. As long as you've got retargeting and some good strong calls to action, in a lot of cases, they end up becoming customers at a higher rate than they might taking them right to some, you know, super highly optimized squeeze page, right? It's the long game you want to think about.
Well, I can tell you one thing I'm thinking about, Keith, that whoever's transcribing this post is in for a heck of amount, a lot of work. You've delivered a huge amount of amazing training here. And I just want to say thank you. And I'm obviously looking forward to you presenting at Superfast Business Live, because I know you're just going to take it up a notch. So thank you so much for coming and sharing. I'm sure that there'll be some questions because it's that kind of a topic. I'd love it if you could come back to the post on superfastbusiness.com and check out some of the questions from time to time.
Sure, sure. No problem. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Keith, and have a nice flight.
All right. Thanks. Talk to you soon. All right. Bye.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.